Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about our assurance of salvation. Our assurance of salvation is based upon the Bible. It is not based upon a feeling. It's not based upon a doctrine of man. Now, getting saved is easy. It is simply a matter of believing what Jesus Christ said and believing what he has already done for you. When Christ came to the earth, he led a perfect, sinless life. Then he died on the cross and resurrected from the dead. His death and his burial satisfied God's judgment on sin. But then he rose from the dead, and his resurrection showed that he beat death. His resurrection showed that he beat sin. In true biblical salvation, God charges Jesus Christ with your sin. In true biblical salvation, God exchanges your unrighteousness for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, a saved person in God's eyes has a perfectly righteous life, the life of Jesus Christ. And, in God's eyes, a saved person has been justified. That is, he has been declared not guilty by God's judgment. All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a verse that we have quoted many, many times before. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In the context, we see the name of God mentioned in verse 20 and the name of Christ mentioned in verse 20. And so the pronouns in verse 21 have antecedents. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see the exchange? If you ever stole anything, then Jesus Christ was made the thief and punished for your theft. If you ever committed adultery, Jesus Christ was made the adulterer. God made him to be the adulterer for you so that you wouldn't be punished for adultery. Jesus Christ never committed sins. He knew no sin. We are the ones who did that. And yet, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then all that he became for us applies to us, and then we are given God's righteousness that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I mean, that's a tremendous thing. So that is the exchange of our unrighteousness for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and notice the justification. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Notice, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, we are justified and we are perfectly righteous in God's eyes because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when you get saved, God wants you to know for sure that you are saved. And he doesn't want you to doubt it. So John the Apostle wrote something for us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. God wants you to know something. He wants you to know that you are saved when you are saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's read it again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you may know, not think, that you may know, not hope, that you may think, not, assume, but that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why he wrote these things. He wants you to know that you have eternal life when you are saved. Now, God would not have written 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, if he did not want you to have assurance of salvation. You say, well, how come I don't feel like I'm saved? Well, the two biggest enemies of assurance of salvation are sin and self-righteousness. You see, once you have truthfully trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, uncontrolled sin will make you believe that you're not saved. When you continue to just go on with those same habitual sins that you were committing before you got saved, without any conviction, without any conscience, without any concern, without any desire or attempt to try to change those things, it may you think, like, whoa, am I saved? Furthermore, self-righteousness will cause you to believe that there's something more that you have to do in order to maintain your salvation. And because you let self-righteousness become part of what God has already done for you through Jesus Christ, you're always going to wonder if you have done enough to keep yourself saved. At times you're going to stand in doubt of your salvation. But I'll tell you something, your salvation does not depend upon your righteousness, and we're going to see that as we look at several ways to have assurance of salvation. But also, some sins, I'm going to tell you, in your life are going to be harder to deal with than others. And you get saved, let's say you had a filthy mouth, you might just drop that right off, just be done with it and think, man, I never want to talk like that again, and you don't. But some people, they get saved and they have trouble with their mouth getting cleaned up, and they may think, 6 months or a year later, man, I'm wondering if I've even saved. I still talk like a little bit like I did before I got saved. And so it troubles them, you see. Uncontrolled sin and self-righteousness. This idea that, well, I know Jesus did that for me, but if I don't keep on living right and go to church every Sunday and blah, 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 I'm liable to lose my salvation, then that puts it all back on you, see. Now you should be able to examine yourself, and you should be able, when you examine yourself, to prove to yourself that you're saved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That's what he said. Well, the trouble with doubting your salvation comes up when you start looking at your own sin and your own righteousness. Both of those things can convince you that you're not saved or that you've lost your salvation. So you need to study what the Bible says, and then you need to believe what the Bible says. And when you do that, you'll be able to overcome your doubts. But we're going to look today at ways that you can have assurance of salvation. Our assurance of salvation is based upon, number one, the book. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you. There they are. They're in writing. They're in the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible is the only place to get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You must put your faith in the facts, in the words of what God said, and not in your feelings. People get in trouble when they're concerned about their assurance of salvation because of their feelings. Your feelings don't count. They may be really good one day. They may not be so good the next day. They are fickle. But the facts don't change. Jesus Christ doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? So put your faith in what he said, in what he wrote. If you have received Jesus Christ, then you are a son of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1:12. And when you look at that verse, you can base your faith on what God said. Okay? Now, another thing to do is to study the Bible. Study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. We've quoted this verse many times. It's one of the first verses that we were, told to memorize. Look at verse 14 for the context of these things. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. If you study the Bible, you know what will happen? It'll strengthen your faith. Now, here's what happens. Oftentimes, a Christian will have enough faith to get saved, but then he won't study the Bible. He won't read the Bible. And when he doesn't study and read the Bible, you know what happens? His faith doesn't grow. See, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you continue, after you get saved, when you continue to study the Bible, when you continue to read the Bible, you know what happens? Your assurance of salvation grows. And that's what you want it to do. You want it to get stronger and stronger as your faith increases. So one of the greatest ways to have assurance of salvation is by the book. But I'll tell you something else. Our assurance of salvation is also based upon the blood. Okay? It's also based upon the blood. Colossians 1:14. Turn with me there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. All right? Now, modern Bibles mess this verse up. They remove the blood. I don't trust them. No way. Because the changes are so, they're so doctrinally perverted. Look at Colossians 1:14. 13 for the context. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Look at that. In whom we have redemption through his blood. You must realize when you get saved that when Jesus Christ shed God's blood on the cross, he satisfied God's wrath for sin forever. You see, it may not be known to you yet. You may not be aware that the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross was God's blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We'll clear that up for you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's very, very powerful. You see, God's blood then would be eternal, and therefore the blood shed would cover everything past leading up to the cross and everything future leading away from the cross. The sins that you committed before you got saved and the sins that you have committed since you've been saved are covered by God's blood. You know, that is a very, very reassuring fact. You ever think about that? You see, if it was just man's blood that was shed, well, he would shed that blood for himself, or perhaps if he was a substitute for somebody else. He has a finite life, and it will cover for a finite life, one for one. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, the old system of justification or retribution in the Old Testament. But look here. When Jesus Christ shed God's blood, he covered once and for all forever. The sacrifice for sin. And you really want to put your faith in that completed eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 12, 13 and 14, But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Tremendous passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 12. You know what he's telling you? That blood that Jesus Christ shed is all you need. No more sacrifice is necessary. But that's not all. Our assurance of salvation is not only based upon the Bible, based upon the blood, but it's also based upon the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 31. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul is preaching, and he says here, Acts 17, 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. And what's the assurance based on? In that he hath raised him from the dead. You know what your assurance is connected to? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how is that? The fact that Jesus Christ came literally, physically, out of the grave assures us that once we have trusted him for our salvation, we too will come up out of the grave. And we're going to come up just like he did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 are fabulous passages of Scripture. The 16 and 17 say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because he came up, we're coming up. And you base your assurance of salvation on something that he did that will also affect what's going to happen to us. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, when this body is laid to rest in the grave, it is temporary. I will awake from that, out of death, out of what would just seem like sleep, and live forever in a glorified body with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so will you. But that's not all. How do we have assurance of salvation? Our assurance of salvation is based upon the book, the blood, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and the baptism by the Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 16. You know, this doctrine of the baptism by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ has got people really in a tailspin, because men have interpreted and taught this doctrine so incorrectly. The baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ is a very simple thing. What happens the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Spirit of God enters your life. And one thing he does is he baptizes you into the body of Christ. That is the baptism by the Spirit. It is not speaking in tongues. There are people who were baptized that did speak in tongues in the Bible, but not all, and not now. The baptism by the Spirit of God takes place the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, whereby you are literally put into the body of Christ. You become a member of his flesh and of his bones. When he takes up residence inside of you, he gives you gifts. Therefore, you have spiritual gifts. He gives you fruit, and therefore we have the fruit of the Spirit. He sanctifies you. He cleanses and washes you. He justifies you. He teaches you. He guides you into all truth. He seals you, and many, many other things. Okay? But notice, all that takes place from the inside out. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of your body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? See? So he's up inside of you. He lives there. This is his residence. Okay? And as we've said before, the resident wants to become the president. All right, now listen. By his presence in you, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to ask you a question. Does the Spirit of God bear witness to the fact that you are a child of God? You see, that's very important to sense the witness of the Spirit of God and not the fluctuating roller coaster of emotions in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. You know what that shows us? Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So with the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you have much assurance. And as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Holy Spirit gives you power to do things once you're saved that you could not have done before you got saved. Now, you may not always experience this power. You may not always yield to this work. However, there are times when the Holy Spirit unmistakably accomplishes something in your life that you could not do or that you would not have done as an unsaved person. And you know what seeing His work, seeing His power inside of you does? It gives you assurance of salvation. Because you realize, there's something going on here that is not me. It is not I. There's somebody else in me, and that other person is the Spirit of God. But that's not all. Our assurance of salvation is based on the book, the blood, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the baptism by the Spirit, and also the benefit of righteousness. The benefit of righteousness. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you also receive His righteousness. Paul was emphatic about that in his epistles. He said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And when that righteousness is in you, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 show you the benefit of it. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive His righteousness. So you don't have to count upon your own. You get to count upon His. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So righteousness is inside of you, and what's happening is God is working His righteousness on the inside, and He wants you to allow that to work through you and out onto the outside. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. So when the righteousness of God is at work in you, it gives you something. It gives you peace, it gives you quietness, and it gives you assurance. You say, how do you know that? From Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. From Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Turn there. This is beautiful. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. I don't have to depend upon my own righteousness in order to prove that I'm saved. That's the last thing that I want to count on. That's the last thing that Paul counted on. What we count on is the righteousness of God given to us the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See? Now look at Isaiah 32, 17. Isaiah 32, 17 says this, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So you see, You see, when you get righteousness at your salvation, that righteousness gives you assurance forever. Your own righteousness is always going to let you down. Your own righteousness is always going to be filthy by comparison to God's righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteousness are as a filthy rag." All right, I'll give you one more way that you can be assured of your salvation. Our assurance of salvation is also based upon the brethren. The brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible makes a very clear and yet a very true statement. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." There's your assurance of salvation. We know it because we love the brethren. There you go. Christians can be particularly hard to love before you're saved. But once you receive Jesus Christ, your attitude toward Christians generally changes. I say generally changes because I have seen Christians getting crosswise with each other when they get back in the flesh. But generally speaking, you love people you didn't love before who name the name of Christ. And you know what that tells you? That you're one of us, that you're one of Christ's souls that has been saved. You're one of God's children, and that's one way you know you're saved. So these six things that we've discussed today will give you assurance of salvation. They are the Bible, because your faith increases as you study and believe it. The blood, because it's eternal and covers every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit. The bodily resurrection, as Christ came up out of the grave, so will you. The baptism by the Spirit of God, he bears witness with us that we are the children of God. The benefit of righteousness, because now God's righteousness in you is working and not your own, and it assures you of salvation. And then the brethren. Your attitude toward Christians has changed, and now you love those that you used to not love. These six things give you assurance of salvation. If you will study them carefully and believe what God said about them, then you will have assurance of salvation against all doubt ever again. One man said, "Well, I doubt from time to time." This kind of thing will remind you never to doubt again. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.